chat with Nicholas. He'll listen to you. Then he'll laugh, and then he'll cry with you. It's all in a safe space for you to speak your truth. Oh, come and chat with Nick.
Hi, everyone. Today we've got Andrey Boychuk, CEO of Flowium Marketing. Andrey, I would like to talk a bit about your business, Flowium. Email marketing, not everyone thinks it's a very sexy industry. Tell me how you chose to go into email marketing and maybe a little bit about when you decided to start your business and how it's been going since 2017.
I like how you said it's not sexy business, and it sounds like I have a pattern in my life, because you said you will later ask me about mobile homes, and it's another not sexy business. It looks like I'm just working in not sexy. I'm starting not sexy businesses. Anyway, so back in 2014, I created a website called iParada, which stands for Immigrant Parada, Immigrant Advice. If you translate into English, it's for Ukrainian immigrants who came to US, and I was blogging about in Ukrainian to help them adapt to American lifestyle, like where to open credit card, how the mortgage works and so forth. But I didn't know how to guide them through the content base where they are in their immigrant journey. So one solution was email marketing, because when they opted in, you can ask them, when did you come to US, or are you planning to come to US? And based on their answers, I can customize the journeys particular for that subscriber. So I self-taught myself how to do it. Fast forward to December 2016, I quit my corporate job and kind of didn't know what to do next in my life. And while I didn't know what to do next, I ran out of all our savings with my wife and daughter, and I started freelancing just to kind of to survive. And on Upwork, the freelance platform, I noticed that people are paying for email marketing. I'm like, really? I thought everybody knows how to do email marketing. It's so easy. And no, but I found out that not everybody knows how to do email marketing. And I start to get one client by another clients. And yeah, and this is how I started with email marketing.
You brought up one of my favorite subjects. So if any of my students are listening to this podcast, they're going to go, oh no, not again. He's going to talk about that. And that's about the customer journey. And it's something that you've really touched on there in terms of how do you take people from point A to B? How do you give them the correct information so that you give them information that they need at the right time in order to make the right decisions? And I suppose that works in email marketing as well. And it's potentially one of the big value adds of email marketing is that you have information on customers, which page they are signing up on, other information, statistical information that you might have on them. And this helps you give sort of data-driven feedback to them in terms of information that is going to be valuable for them in that stage of the customer customer journey or the buyer journey.
Correct.
Okay. We're talking about how unsexy email marketing is. Why do we still need email marketing? Surely this is an old-fashioned business. Do people still read emails? I have a lot of emails going into my spam folder. Why is your business growing, and why should we be interested in email marketing?
Sure. So here's simple statistics so you understand. Everybody knows how Facebook is popular, how other social media is popular. But today, it's like, October 2023, there's 4 billion email users versus 2 billion Facebook users. So this is just simple statistic based on how many people are using one thing versus another thing. For Facebook, to market on Facebook, yes, you can do it organically, like make a post, but how much reach will you get? You need to pay. It's an auction, you need to bid, and sometimes you break even, sometimes you go negative. And I don't want to discount the awareness stage. It's crucial for any kind of business awareness, but retention as important as well. And email marketing is responsible for client retention, not for the acquisition. Yes, there's a few things. You can run some kind of referral programs with email marketing, and maybe you might acquire new clients through email marketing, but it's not the acquisition channel. So I'm not saying Facebook or TikTok is better than email, because we are not comparing apples to apples. Those channels are awareness. They are amazing. Email marketing, the best in terms of retention. You can compare SMS versus email, but it's hard to compare because email will always win. In the future, might be different.
And I suppose you've spoken about the value of retention. And I don't know if you've got any statistics about how it's obviously cheaper to retain customers than to try and get new ones the whole time. And I don't know if you've had any successes with customers using your email services to increase retention or at least drive additional value out of their current email list.
Sure. I mean, the rule of thumb, and you probably hear it on different podcasts, YouTube videos, or conferences, there's like between 5 to 8 times cheaper to retain the customer than to get the new one. This is kind of the general statistic, and it depends on the industry, depends what you're selling. If you're selling mattresses, it would be harder for you to get the repeat client versus when you sell, I don't know, like protein powder. Like, that customer will probably continue coming to you every 30 days to 45 days. In terms of, we never run the split test. We're like, no email marketing and with email marketing. All our clients who comes to us, they already do a good job with email marketing, but they want to go to the next level. And we typically focus on lifetime value of the customers, and our goal is always to in retail, because we mostly work in retail with e-commerce, the biggest problem is to convert second time buyer in the third time buyer. So basically the first sale is easy, but the drop between first time to second time buyer is 80%. So it's only 20% converts to second time buyers. And this is kind of where email marketing helps to drive that percentage up.
So the term that you've just brought up now is customer lifetime value. The companies that you work with that take email marketing seriously, how well do they know their customers, and how well do they know the customer lifetime value? Or is this something that you help them with? Do you have any tips for calculating or understanding customer lifetime value?
Let me answer all your questions in the sequence. So first of all, in the past, when I started in my business, in most cases, I had to educate my clients what it is and how it works and why it's important. Now we have more like bigger brands, bigger like companies, and they already come to us, not for email marketing solution, but they're coming with us, like, hey, can you like increase customer lifetime value? And also what's the tip I have for somebody who calculating customer time, it's good to know the customer lifetime value from start to finish, but also you need to kind of take it in chunks, because let's say if your business, like you're running the business for 15 years, you don't want one customer who buys for 15 years to jeopardize the other statistics.
Yeah.
So it's very important to understand also the time frame and when they become the customer. So there's complicated like cohort analysis, like all those there's a tools that help you to do the analysis, but you just need to understand what you're looking for.
So we'll talk about some of those tools later, but if people think about email marketing, they think of somebody sitting behind a computer typing an email. Dear Nicholas, thank you for your purchase. Here's 20% discount on your next order. Thank you, CEO John. So all of these emails, I believe, are all now automated. These are quite complicated processes that you've got to create in the back end. It's not trying to replicate. It's not individualized emails over and over. What type of automation do you use? And do you use systems like HubSpot and Zapier for these kind of processes? Maybe just talk through what automation is, email automation is, and how you use it?
Almost, let's say, majority of our ESPs or email marketing automation tools have already pre-built integration with system you use. For example, if we're talking about e-commerce tools like HubSpot, Klaviyo, ActiveCampaign, they have integration with Shopify, for example. If you are in B2B space, let's say HubSpot, they have everything internal. They have CRM and they have email marketing. So it's also integrated. Or if you use, in our case, we use PipeDrive for our CRM and we use Klaviyo for email marketing. And we, to tie those two together, we use the middle software, is what you just mentioned, Zapier, to connect them together. There's email marketing divided in two series of emails. First, email automations, drips, sequences. In different software, it's called differently. In like in Klaviyo, it's called Flow, for example. And campaigns are broadcast, newsletter, so something that you send at once to a specific segment of your list. Actually, there's a few types how they can be triggered. Trigger, they kind of start, the automation starts and start to send emails or text to do some action. For example, what you just said, you made a purchase. I don't know, like you purchased the t-shirt you wear, right? That you purchased through online store, which hosted on Shopify. That signal sends to, let's say, to HubSpot, say, hey, Nicholas purchased this shirt. Oh, sorry. Hey, this customer purchased this t-shirt. His first name is Nicholas. And if it's misspelled or it's all capitalized, the marketer needs to make sure, let's say, to format this automatically. So the system formats it, your name correctly. So it's not capitalized or it's not like everything lowercase. And the rest of the email is pre-sealed. Maybe, oh, hi, Nicholas, you purchased X, Y, and Z t-shirt for X, Y, and Z number of dollars. Thank you very much, blah, 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 and done. And here's 20% for your next order. So basically, it's a templated email which adds few personalization. So this is how it works.
What is the longest email automation that you've done? Is it 5, 10, 20, 30? What is the longest project that you've worked on in terms of the amount of emails? How many emails with a large client of yours develop?
I mean, if we're talking about the let me ask you, on average, we do between 45 to 70 emails for email automations. This is kind of our average. But if we're talking about only one automation, only one, we did, I believe, 40 or 40 plus emails, close to 50 emails. And it was for a brand, maternity brand. When they enter, they're like, hey, you're expecting? Yes. When is your due date? And based on that, we were sequencing, because it's how baby developed in the, like in the body, it kind of the same process. And yeah, so it was the longest sequence in one automation that we created.
That's a really nice example. Why I asked that is I've been trying to get a little bit more fit before we go into skiing season. And I joined a online gym, and there are multiple emails coming through every day, every week on different topics. And it's quite clever the way they do it. So it's all targeted to specific themes and where you are in your process. Yeah, I think 40 plus is a decent number. I want to talk a bit more about partnerships. For example, you mentioned Klaviyo, and I work with HubSpot quite a lot with my class. We do lots of certifications and so on. When working with a partner like Klaviyo, I can't remember if it's a gold membership or what your level membership is with them, but what value do you get out of having a partnership directly with the software, and what value do they get from you?
So we are elite Klaviyo master. So this is the top tier for Klaviyo. So since Klaviyo is relatively young company compared to HubSpot or any other companies, we grew kind of together, because when I joined their team, they had only one partner manager. So at that moment, it was like very limited support, like they didn't know what they were doing from partnership side, but right now they have a huge team. They have, I believe, 14,000 partners. So it's a big network of partners. So now we, the benefits we get from them is, of course, education, certification. Since we are elite, we have more tailored support as well. Sometimes we work on some marketing collaboration. We recently went to Utah seminar. In Utah, there was a big conference and we went together and we had our booth next to each other. So it was kind of marketing collaboration, which we were trying to support each other. What kind of benefits they get from us? Of course, we bring them, we drive a lot of business to them.
I think the partner marketing team that you mentioned has such an important role because they are obviously helping keep you up to date with the latest things in the industry. And you as a business also tell them things that are not working in the system or things that could be improved, and they're learning from you the whole time. So those relationships are very important, I think, to nurture and grow. And as you said, you started out when they were quite small and you're an elite partner now. And I'm sure that pays dividends in terms of them promoting you to potential clients. So definitely a good way of doing your own marketing as well is through these types of partnerships.
Correct.
You're an author as well. You've written quite a cool guide called The Black Friday, Cyber Monday and Holiday Email Marketing Guide. Maybe talk a bit about that and what people, obviously we'll try and get people to download it, but give us an outline of what are they going to learn in this guide.
Sure. It was back in 2020 or maybe back in 2021, we created this as a kind of lead magnet, cheat sheet. And when we were ready to refresh it, I said, I cannot put my name on it. So we need to redo it from scratch. And we put the entire guide step by step how to prepare for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, because this is the biggest period, season, holiday for all retailers. Actually, the entire Q4 is the busiest and the most successful for them, meaning the most revenue they generate in Q4. And so many, almost all retailers have either the same problems or the same challenges. So this guide I created as a step-by-step workbook, what to do to prepare and not to be as much stressed during the busy season. So we outlined the automations they should have in place. We outlined the email campaigns they should have in place, what kind of promos they should run, and so forth. So everything is included in the book.
So I chatted to a very interesting guest this last week who is a bestseller on the Amazon bestseller list. And she mentioned to me that there are 16,000 categories under the Amazon book catalog. So I think if you had to create this into an actual book, you could have a bestseller on email marketing and how to focus on Black Friday. Do it. I want to see, that will be the next step. You've done your cheat sheet. Now you've done the guide. I think next step is to actually write a book. You touched on a bit earlier on mobile homes, and I thought that was an interesting move from mobile homes, selling mobile homes, to email marketing. Maybe tell me, have you got any fun stories or interesting experiences that you had when selling mobile homes? Because when I think mobile homes, I think Trailer Park Boys, I think about Breaking Bad. So that's my thinking, but I'm sure I'm completely wrong.
Yeah, I think there's a big stigma here in the US people perceive it, the mobile homes are the bad things. And in my lifetime, I went through over more than 200 different mobile home parks only in my area. And only one was so bad that I was kind of scared to go through in my car from all of them. But less than 10 were bad, but the rest was normal, your average American kind of neighborhood, but instead of homes, they have a mobile homes. And the other probably 10% was so cool, so nice, so beautiful that like, I want to have a house there. I worked in corporate America, and this was my kind of side hustle. I want to invest in real estate, but I didn't have much money. So instead of buying the houses, I was buying and flipping mobile homes.
That's a different way to look at real estate. So that's very interesting.
In US, mobile homes do not consider real estate. They consider as a vehicle. So when you buy a mobile home, they don't give you title. They don't give you paperwork for real estate. They give you the same title you get for when you buy a car.
Ah, okay. So you buy
and it even have a VIN number.
Okay. You basically just hire a parking spot then, I guess. Is there anything else we don't know about you that is interesting, Andre?
I mean, from the latest one, in March, I hiked the Mount Kilimanjaro. Was my bucket list, and I just completed it. And on the second day of the hike, I said that I'm quitting and I'm going back because I had such a terrible mountain sickness or altitude sickness. It was, if you had hangover, just imagine hangover, which does not stop when you sleep, when you wake up, and it's like nonstop, and your brain is messing with you that like you don't have enough air, and you cannot even like inhale the air, but it's just psychological. It's not real.
So how did you push through? You said it's psychological, not through. How did you push through hangover?
I'm Ukrainian, and I went with Ukrainian group because, I mean, it's like my Ukrainian friends first of all invited me, and also it was much cheaper to go with Ukrainian group versus like, I don't know, some other groups. Anyway, and when I said I'm going back, they said, no, you don't, like you already did 2 years. So they actually did not allow me to go back. So I'm like, okay, so I'll stay and move forward. But I'm happy that I did it. So because I would probably feel sorry if I go back.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure they wouldn't have let you not do it, and you wouldn't have lived it down either if you hadn't have done it. So sometimes that peer pressure can just get you over onto the top of the mountain, which is why important to be surround yourself with people stronger and better than yourself. Andre, where can I send people to find out more about you and your business?
Sure. Just go to Flowium, FLOWIUM.com, and you are able to find all the information about email marketing. There is contact information for me if you want to reach out to me directly.
I have to be honest, when I went to your website, I thought, wow, this is one of the nicer websites that I've seen. So I was thinking, okay, I might have to steal some ideas. It was just really beautifully put together.
Very well designed website as well. So I have to give you kudos as well.
But yours really goes to call to action. Mine has zero call to action. So yours just says, are you ready? So I really like that. And I would recommend to people to have a look at your site in terms of what does a good sales website look like. So whoever did that, good job. Andre, thank you so much for your time. It's been interesting, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Come chat with Nicholas. He'll listen to you. Then he'll laugh, and then he'll cry with you. It's all in a safe space for you to speak your truth.